Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
I have a text on my mind today. I pulled from it before in Romans chapter 7 in order to establish our sinfulness and our dependence upon Christ. We can do nothing to come unto God. We can do nothing of our own nature, even after being born of the Spirit of God, that would be worthy of appearing before the Lord, that would be worthy of approaching unto God, that would be worthy of salvation, that we might save ourselves, even after being quickened to the Spirit of God. That's hard for people to understand. And I want to go through Romans 7 this week. This may be a sad text to some people, but to me it's very joyous. And we have to put it in context. We've got things in chapters in the Bible that are not necessarily that way in the scripture that was written. I made mention, went through Ephesians, that was one long chapter. This was written by the Apostle Paul, but it is inspired of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is speaking. You've got to remember who Paul is. Paul is the Pharisee that was persecuting the church of God. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and as touching the law, he was blameless in his own eyes. But that's the problem with a lot of the winds of doctrine that flow through the world. It makes us blameless in our own eyes, or it teaches that. And that's the same thing bringing dimension that caused Adam to fall, was desiring to be as God and in rebellion disobeying God. But we see in chapter 7, he says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." Now let's establish a fact before moving on. We find in chapter 6, verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man," that's the flesh of Adam, that is our nature, that is where we stand, as we stand by our nature, apart from God. That's the reason the Bible said in Ephesians 2 and 1, "And you hath he quickened," because we were dead in trespass and sins. He says, knowing this, there's no doubt about this. Paul is declaring this to these people. We have no righteousness of our own. We're by the law judged guilty. We're by God's word judged guilty. As we stand before God in existence, we're judged guilty because we're sinners. We've all sinned. We have an inherited sin, and we have our own sins also. But speaking of that old man, Paul says, knowing this, now here's salvation, that our old man is crucified with him. It was nailed to the cross with him. Who is him? Not the thief that would inherit glory that day, not the thief, the other malefactor who was left in his own nature, but the man in the center, the man in the midst, Jesus Christ. Our old man is crucified with Christ. When Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, his body became sin for us. We were crucified there with him, and there's a purpose for it, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, this body is not destroyed. I'm standing in it today. God may destroy it before I finish the next sentence, but I am still alive. I'm still breathing, and my body is still the body of the man that God made from the ground, come forth in the image of Adam, and that is sin, sin, sin. Even being quickened of God, this body is still sin, because the spirit is quickened, the soul is quickened, but the body still stands in the nature of Adam, rebellion. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. How's it destroyed? How is it destroyed? When Christ gives you life in the finished work of Jesus Christ, he presents you holy and without blame before God the Father in love. Therefore, God, you can withstand the Spirit of God. You're made able of God to be born of the Spirit. You're made able of God to know God. You're made able of God to resist sin and turn from this sin. Therefore, you're enabled of God to turn from this sinful nature of rebellion, which is within our body. Now, he says, knowing this, that our old man has crucified him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Its hold on us is destroyed. We are now children of God. We are now sons of God. We now know God because God saved us. God made us holy in the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And God has placed His Spirit within us. As He said, He has written His law upon our hearts. Our old man is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth, here's the purpose. Here is the purpose. That henceforth we should not serve sin. This is not going to be confusion when we get to the text. This is going to be truth. This is going to tell us what God's Word says about sin and death and our nature and the battle we fight daily trying to fight against sin and death. And you will quite plainly see if the Lord blesses me and speaks through me to give you this as we go through this chapter rather quickly in Romans 7, that without God we're not able to withstand sin. We're not able to stand against sin. And even though we're born of God and love God and try to serve God, we still wrestle with sin daily and we will still sin. But we do have deliverance. And of course, that deliverance is none other than the Son of God. He said, "For he that is dead from is freed from sin." I love that text. I love that text. I love that text. When we die and leave this body, our spirit, our soul, our life, our being is freed from sin. The body dies, therefore the control or the influence it has over us, that battle is over. We don't fight that battle anymore. The body goes to the ground to sleep. It's dead. And we're with Christ in immortal glory forever and ever and ever. We're freed from sin. We'll never taste it. We'll never suffer from it again. But in context with the text in Romans 6, he that is dead with Christ and was crucified with Christ is dead from sin. It no longer has complete control. Genesis 6 explains us as we are by nature. Every man's thought of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination. When we're born of the Spirit, that is, our body is dead in that, and to that, doesn't mean we don't fight it, don't mean we have to wrestle, but God, that we're not going to wrestle against it, but God hath given us the ability to fight it. It does not have complete control over us anymore. Let me go on down to verse 14 of chapter 6 and make a point with you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It does not have complete dominion over you. You're a child of God. I've told you many times from Revelation 5, because the Lord was slain, He was the Lamb of God, and in Him we live and reign on the earth. We don't reign over the governments of men. We don't reign over other people. We live and reign over sin in this world because God hath given us life and taken us from our dead, sinful nature and enabled us to turn from sin and love God. Now, we're not under the law, but under grace. Verse 14, remember that. You are not under the law. You do not serve the law. Christ fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle. Every point of the Hebrew language was fulfilled. Every point of the Greek language was fulfilled. Every point of the English language that we speak was fulfilled. What I'm telling you is that all Scripture was fulfilled, which concerned Christ saving His people from their sins. He completed the law. He fulfilled it. He died for us because we were all sinners. You're not under the law. You're under grace. That's why Paul says, "Know ye not, brethren." He just told you, you're not under the law. For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. If you're under the law hath dominion over you. Let me move forward. For the woman, he makes an example. This is telling us of an example of living and dying and the law. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. We were bound to the law as long as we lived. But if the husband be dead, Christ is our husband. Christ died for us. She is loosed from the law of her husband. We're loosed from the law of sin and death. We're not loosed, if you please, to the law of God, because God hath written it upon our hearts, and that's another text. But I want to make the point that Christ died for us. We are dead to the law of sin and death, the law of our nature. We're no longer under the law. We no longer try to serve God by the law, and we realize through the law of the Spirit, because there's another law, that we are sinners and salvation is of the Lord. We're not under the law. We're under grace, the law of grace. So then, if while her husband liveth, and that means we're loosed from the law of sin and death. So then if while her husband liveth, she'd be married to another man, she'd be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, Christ died for us. We are the bride of Christ. She is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Who is this other man? It is the Prince of Glory. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You're dead to the law of sin and death because Christ died for you. We were guilty. We were tried. We were convicted. We were, in essence, of the law of God, sentenced to death. But Christ fulfilled the law of God. He defeated the law of sin and death, which is by our nature. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. His body became sin for us. He was nailed to the cross, laid his life down, raised it up again. That you should be married to another. We're married to the Lord, even to him, here's the proof, who is raised from the dead, that is Christ, the first begotten from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Romans 16. All of the things Paul speaking of in the last of that chapter about the gospel and the power of the gospel, it is for the purpose of the obedience of faith. Everything we do that God has done for us in this world, because of everything God has done for us, we are to serve God. We are to love God. God tells us in Scripture what to do. He lays it out very plainly for us, which works He chose for us to walk in before He ever created the heaven and the earth, that we would worship God and serve God and be a family and love each other. And then when the church, also the place, that the kingdom that God gave us, for we are to worship together to glorify the Lamb of God, not because, as we're about to get into, of the law, not because of our justification or what we can do for ourselves to justify ourselves, not because of fear or any other reason other than the fact that we love the Lord our God, who loved us and came into this world to die for us. And because we love Him, we wish to please Him. Motivation is the key, brother. The motivation is the Lord. Brother Matt Jordan preached Friday morning about Paul being stirred up there in Athens. In Acts 17, and he asked the question, what stirs us up? What stirs us up? The Lord ought to be what stirs us up. Loving the Lord ought to be what stirs us up. That ought to be the cause that we do all things that we do, not for fear of punishment, not for fear of eternal hell, because Christ has loved us and saved us. There will never be a chosen child of God in hell, but because we love the Lord, because He loved us. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, that is, when we were walking according to the course of nature, according to the course of the prince of the power of this world, that being Satan, before we were regenerated, when we were still reprobate. Oh, you may have been born of the Spirit of God in the womb, as Jeremiah. There are some in this world. We're given evidence by the thief on the cross that'll be regenerated and saved and brought to God in the knowledge of God and knowing God. At the point of death, man could live his whole life in misery and rebellion. And at the point of death, God quickened him. And it's just as He did to that thief. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But every child of God will be born of the Spirit. He said, now, for when we were in the flesh, walking as the natural man of Adam, the motion of sins, the passion of sins, the love of sins, God set Adam in that beautiful place, and God gave him one commandment. Everything here is yours. Everything here, I love you so much. I have created it for you. Oh, well, I wouldn't have done that. Yes, we would have. We would have done the same thing. Man was made good and upright, perfect, but liable to fall. And the nature of man desiring to be as God, think about the teachings of the world, which cause us to believe that we can be, he fell. He disobeyed God. One commandment, do not eat of that tree. Just one. Wasn't ten. Wasn't all these ordinances in the law. Just one. The motion of sins. The love of sin. The passion of sin. Sin working in you. For when we were in the flesh, the motion of sins, rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law. By what law? Not the law of God. Not the law of God. The law of nature. The law of sin and death. He'll prove that before we close the chapter out. Because he calls it the law of sin and death. The law in which we're born into, because Adam transgressed the law of God. The law of our very being, the law of our nature. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So what does he say? When we're in our flesh, just as it was in Genesis 6, every thought was evil. Every act was evil. Every action was evil. Every imagination. Not some of them. We still have evil imaginations, even being quickened by the Spirit of God, and we fight them daily. That's our warfare, our spiritual warfare. But every single imagination of the heart was only evil continually. That's where we stood. That's what we call depravity. That's what we call man. That's what we call where we are of our own accord because of our father Adam. Well, that's not fair that one's born a sinner. He can't help himself. Exactly. He can't help himself. He cannot. But don't tell me it's not fair. God made it good and upright, and Adam corrupted it. God's ways are just and right, period. For when we are in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members, in our body, to bring forth fruit unto death. To bring forth wickedness, evil, lasciviousness, all sorts of things, everything contrary to God, because by our nature we are in rebellion to God. The Bible says we are at enmity with God. We're enemies of God. That's by our choice. That's by our doing. You want to talk about free will? Free will brought man to death and sin. Adam chose to eat of that tree. That's free will. I thank God that God overruled that. And provided us with a deliverance, with a deliverer, with a redeemer. He says, but now we are delivered from the law of sin and death, that being wherein we were held under the law of nature, we were held under the law of sin and death, we could not escape it, we could not come out of it. In fact, we loved it and chose it because we were at enmity with God, that we should serve to bring forth fruit unto God. In newness of flesh? No. In newness of the letter of the law? No. In newness of spirit. The Spirit of God which is within you. And not in the oldness of the letter. What does the letter refer to? The letter of the law. The law said, as Paul says down here a little further, thou shalt not covet. Well, our nature is to covet. We want more. We want better. Me, 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 self, self, self. That's what man is by nature. But God delivers. God does not only deliver in and to heaven and immortal glory. And that is a sure fact. But God delivers in this world as we fight this warfare, spirit against the flesh, our spirit with the Spirit of God within us, fighting against the flaw and the laws of our nature and the law of sin and death. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? The letter of the law is not sin. the letter of the law is perfect. The letter of the law describes the perfectness of God and what God requires. We can't know what God is. He's far too great. We know who He is because He has given us knowledge that He is God, but we still cannot see but a very small bit of God, and that is so overwhelming through the eye of faith it puts us on our knees crying, Abba, Father. Is the law sin? God forbid. Paul says, Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. The law of God teaches us, Thou shalt not covet. You're a neighbor's ass, or his ox, or his wife, or anything else that belongs to somebody else. We're to be content in the things that God has given unto us. Thou shalt not covet. But the nature of man covets. The nature of man lusts. That old law of sin and death that we're freed from, the nature of that clings in this body, the law of flesh. We fight it daily. Even this man, who as Paul says, I was a Pharisee. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was at the top. I was the best. I profited in the Jews' religion. There alone is covetousness. And him under the law, the letter of the law, at that time not being able to see because God had not revealed unto him the law of the Spirit, because he was not yet born to the Spirit that came in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. And what happened then? Who art thou, Lord? And then what was the next question? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What was the next question? What wouldst thou have me to do, Lord? He realized by God's direct hand, by the Spirit of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and that we are here to serve Him and to bring forth fruit unto God. Back to verse 4. But Paul says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. Now listen to this. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. The word means lust. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which is ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Okay, Lord help me make this simple. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Let's look at this man who Philippians chapter 3 teaches us that as touching the law, he was blameless. This man, I believe, kept the law of God. He didn't keep it to a jot and tittle. He could not, for he was a sinful being, and only the Lord Jesus Christ could fulfill the law of God and keep it to a jot and a tittle. Old Paul could have died and did, but he couldn't have raised himself up. His sinful blood, like mine, would not have redeemed us from one sin, would not have redeemed him from sin. He would have just died in his sin. But Paul, in his mindset of keeping the law, in being taught of the Jewish religion, of prospering, and there's one reason he would keep the law, that he might prosper monetarily, that he might prosper in his glory, in his righteousness, in his self. Yes, he may have had a fear of God also, where he feared hell, if eternal hell, if he disobeyed God. I know people in the world that think that if they commit one single sin, they're going to hell, they have to go get saved again. Do we crucify the Son of God afresh? God forbid, that's blasphemy. Do we have to go get saved again? Not eternally. Not eternally. Jesus told, I believe, speaking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10, if you deny me, I will also deny you before my Father. That's denying him. That's speaking of temporally in this world. That's why he said to Timothy, the Apostle Paul said, if we deny him, he also will deny us. That's temporally in this world. Walking by the law of sin and death, or walking by the letter of the law, denying the righteousness of God, teaching the
righteousness of man or lasciviousness in sin, as did Paul. That's what the Bible's telling us here. Paul says, I walked that way. I was top dog. I thought I was the Hebrew. I thought I was the Pharisee. I thought I was beyond reproach. I thought I was perfect. But the motivation, as I said earlier, is the reason we do things, and the reason things are justified in the eyes of God. There are people in this world that fear the wrath of God who walk much cleaner than I do, I assure you. But they do it for the wrong reason. Motivation. Unto whom much is given, much is required. And he also said in another place, he that is forgiven much, loveth much. Let me tell you, brethren, if God has forgiven me myself, he has forgiven much, and I love him much, and I desire and fail to love him more, because I am not able to save myself. I'm not able to satisfy the law. I know my heart. I know my mind. I know the law of sin and death that I have to try to battle, that pulls at me constantly, trying to keep me from the things of God. Motivation, love of God is why we serve the Lord. He said, for I was alive without the law once. He walked without the law of God, written on his heart, justifying himself by the letter of the law, deeming himself perfect and righteous. But when the commandment came, what commandment? When God wrote his law upon his heart. It's one of my favorite texts in Zechariah 12:10. I keep telling myself every time I think about it that one day I'm going to preach that, and I never have tried. But he said, I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, not the law, but grace, and of supplications, and they shall look upon him whom they, me, he says, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn as one that mourneth for an only son. What does that teach us? That teaches us that when God reveals himself to you, that's what it says in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he reveals unto his servants. When God reveals unto you the perfection of himself and his holiness by the law, and writes the law upon your heart, that you see Jesus high and lifted up, the Son of God, the Son of glory, the eternal Godhead, the author and finisher of our faith, when you look up and see him in his holy, total righteousness, not on the cross, that's gone, that's finished, he's done that work, but sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high, you cannot help but to see your depraved, sinful condition. And again, your heart cries, Abba, Father. Paul says, for I was alive without the law once. I walked in this world thinking I was top dog. I was perfect. But when the commandment came, when God gave me birth, when I fell on my knees and said, who art thou, Lord? When he told me, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then the next thing, when I said, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? Lord? When the commandment came, when God wrote it upon my heart, sin revived. The law didn't make him sin. What the law did was teach him that he was yet in sin by his very existence, and so totally dependent upon Jesus Christ, so totally dependent upon the grace of God, so totally dependent upon the mercy of God, the purpose of God. Commandment which is ordained to life, I found to be unto death. When God gave me life, I died. What does he mean? That's not contradiction. That is telling us, is this man who is the great Pharisee, who is the great apostle, once God touched him, sent to the Gentiles. I was alive in the law, justifying myself, the letter of the law, justifying myself, and When God revealed His Son in me, I realized my sin. And as He said in Philippians 3, all those things that I counted dear, that may not be the word, but it's in, let me find it. That's important. Philippians 3, all those things I counted gain. Gain. There's self again. Me, me, me. I counted for loss. When God revealed Christ in Paul, Paul says, I was dead to the letter of the law. I realized I could not fulfill the law. I could not sustain the law. I could not keep the law. I was not perfect. Being a Pharisee meant nothing. Being a Hebrew, the Hebrews meant absolutely nothing before God in heaven. What counted was I'm a child of God given to the Lord Jesus Christ before the world ever was, and that Christ came to this world to save sinners, as in His own words, of whom I am chief, because He persecuted the church of God. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When the commandment came and God revealed Christ to me, sin revived. I saw it, I knew it, I felt it, and I cried and I died. I say I cried because that is the first response to grace. Is Abba, Father, Lord, help me, Lord, deliver. Abba, Father, is Father, Father. It's like a slave saying to his master, Father, Father. And He's redeemed us from the bondage of the law of sin and death. And He found that law to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. What is He saying? He is saying that the nature of sin, the law of sin and death, by the law, the letter of the law, deceived him. Standing in the nature of Adam, as he was not yet born of the Spirit at that time. That was not until Acts chapter 9. He's speaking of the time he grew up. He's speaking of the time that he was alive. He's speaking of the time he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And the time he was having the education, the liberal arts of all the world, and all the education that the Apostle Paul had. And I do believe that the man was probably a genius. But the wisdom of men is foolishness with God. All that me walking by the commandment and the letter of the law, by my rebellion of Adam's nature, it deceived me. And by it slew me, for he was dead from God. We are dead from God by our nature. We are convicted by the letter of the law, but Christ fulfilled the letter of the law, and Christ was crucified and died for us, and we were crucified in Him and with Him. But hallelujah, when He came forth from the grave, we also came forth with Him. And the commandment which was ordained to life are found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law, the letter of the law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, is holy, sanctified, separate. Teaches us, of course, our sin. It does that when grace comes. It teaches us of our sin. When God gives you life, it teaches you of your sin. Until that time, you're shut up under the law. God brings you to grace. But the law is holy, sanctified. It's apart from all. Because the law is not only God and of God. It's God because it describes God. God is perfect, holy, sanctified. That's what God is, and that's what God demands of us. But we go back to our nature that we're delivered from because we're totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Does not make the law good. I mean, ungood. Does not make the law evil. The law does not bring breath. But death, forgive me, sin brings death. The law is holy. The commandment is holy and just and good. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. He answers that very quickly and very strong. But sin, our personal sin, the sin of Adam, sin period, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, by God revealing in me Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching me that I am unable to save myself, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. And I'll answer that this way, or I'll describe that this way. There was a time in my life I didn't know a whole lot about all these things. I didn't study enough, although I studied as a child. Not getting into that, but God gives revelation. There was a time in my life that I thought, well, I'm not a bad person. I don't sin that much. I'm not too bad. But when the grace of God comes into your heart and shows you that, you realize that sin is not just sin. When God reveals the finished law to you, after He reveals the law unto you of His righteousness and sanctification and holiness far above us, then the sin that you used to look at in maybe a candid way or maybe a light way or maybe a way in which I'm not that bad, it becomes exceeding sinful. You realize that the very thoughts of your mind are sinful, that the very imagination of man's heart is sinful, that the heart is a wicked thing. Who can know it? You realize we have no chance. We're all depraved. We're all dead in trespassing sins and without God in the world unless God gives us life and that in Christ and we're totally dependent upon Him. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, wait a minute. Paul's born of the Spirit. He's writing epistles. Yes, he's born of the Spirit. But he still lives in that body of flesh. He still wrestles against the law of sin and death. He still wrestles against the nature of Adam while he lives in that, while he lived in that body. And brethren, we do daily. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I want to serve God. I want to be righteous. I want to walk in righteousness while I live in this world. I want to glorify and honor my Savior. I want to draw closer to my Savior. I want to love more my Savior. I want to adore my Savior. But I cannot, because sin is present with me. It's in my nature. If God does not bring me there, I will not get there. But the things that I hate, lust, concupiscence, desire, all the things of the nature of Adam, the nature of man, trespass and sin, eat at me daily, gnaw at me daily, pull me down daily. What I hate, that do I. He's not justifying sin. He's telling us that He battles sin daily and we battle sin daily. And without Christ, there's no hope to escape it. And there's no hope to defeat it. And there's no hope to be victorious day by day. There's no hope to walk away from it. There's no hope for temporal deliverance, let alone eternal deliverance. If then I do that which I would not, evil, I consent unto the law that the law is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, and I don't care who anyone is or thinks they are. Let's begin with me. If we are breathing air, sin is within us because this nature of Adam is still present. That's why the body must be laid down, or at the last day the body must be changed. For I know that in me, he's speaking of the body, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's period. Let's do it this way, exclamation point. No good thing in my body, in my nature, in my flesh, and I fight it daily by God's grace. For to will is present with me, I have a desire, not in the flesh of man, but in the inward man, in the new creation that God created when the Word became flesh, John chapter 1, and dwelt among us. When I was born of the Spirit of God, when God put His Spirit within me, for to will is present with me. God has placed Himself within me. These are Paul's words, my words, but describing what Paul is teaching. God has placed His Spirit within me. God hath given me life. God hath written His law upon my heart. I desire to serve God. I desire to love God. Evil is present and fights me daily. But He says, for the good, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He cannot except in Christ. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. The nature, the flesh. We have the nature of Christ and we have the nature of the flesh. The nature of the flesh was crucified in Christ. It no longer has dominion over us. That's why Paul begins down here in chapter 8, said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God gave us life, caused us, and enables us to walk after the Spirit. He said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Some days we come down here and we have church and I feel so lifted up in the Lord's presence with you all. I love you. I love to be here. Family together. It's important. I love to come down here and either talk about the Lord or hear some other preacher come down here and teach us about the Lord. I love to sing songs of praise. I love to hear your earnest prayers from your heart. I love to hear the songs of Zion song. Sometimes I'm so lifted up when I leave here, I feel like there's not a care in the world. And before I get over that last mountain, something's come back in. Something's eating at me. Something's gnawing at me. Something's stuck in my craw, maybe, from somebody on the road or whatever the case may be. But what it all boils down to is a sin within me tearing at my heart as the devil, our adversary, walked about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, James said, draw nigh unto God. We draw nigh unto God. We resist the devil and he flees from us. He might be gone a minute. He might be gone an hour. He may be gone a millisecond. But you can rest assured while you live in this body, he will return. I find thine a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. As long as we live in this body, evil, that means trouble, is always present with us. Now I love this. Here we come to deliverance. Hallelujah. For I delight in the law of God, the law of grace. He proves it after the inward man. I delight that God has written His law upon my heart. I delight that He is now my God. I delight that I am now His son. I delight that I'm now part of the children of God. I delight I don't have to worry about all the things in the law, such as the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant and all those things. I delight in Jesus Christ. I delight in my inward man, which is God within us, working in us, causing us to turn aside from the ways of the flesh. Jesus said that men ought always to pray because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He has given us all we need to overcome. And yet if we fail and we do not overcome, God's grace is still with us, for He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny it. He became flesh and died upon the cross. He cannot deny He became man and died upon the cross and saved you here and in eternal glory. But I see another law in my members, my body, and myself, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity. This is Paul. This is the great apostle. Bringing me, my mind is like this. If this man suffers with the power that God put in him, how could I dare not suffer? How could I ever think that I won't have the same battles and fall even worse because I am a worm? I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, knowledge of God, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my body, my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Are you not blessed when you realize that? Well, I don't like to hear that man is a sinner. Well, I'm sorry, that's what I'm going to tell you because that's what the Bible says, and God called me to say, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man. I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all are here to know the truth. I'm talking about the winds of doctrine in the world. Don't tell me. You know, there was a thing here 10, 15 years ago to redo songbooks amongst God's congregation, and I'm talking about the entire church, every denomination, not just us. And we do things wrong too. Don't think we don't. There was an effort to change the songbooks. We don't want blood. We don't want gore. We want some happiness. Let me tell you something, child of God. The only happiness we have is in Christ and what He gives us. There's nothing any better. Christ died for sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am. Cannot save myself. Cannot help myself. Cannot go without sin. Even after being born of the Spirit, I still sin. I am still a sinner. I still fall. I still fail. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body, this body of sin, the working of sin in my members? Now, there's a deliverance on the last day when this body's raised up. There's a deliverance when it's changed, if you're alive at that day. There's a deliverance in death, because for he that is dead is freed from sin. But temporally speaking, of right now and today, for today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who can save me from myself? Who can save me from my sins? Who can save me as I walk in this world? Who can help me and save me and cause me to turn aside from the things of the world and the sin of nature of Adam? And then he answers it. I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. There is your deliverer. There is your deliverance. So then with the mind, the knowledge of God, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's not saying Paul's going to hell because he will serve the law of sin. That's not saying we're going to hell because we serve the law of sin. That is saying that while we live in this world, after being regenerated and quickened and given birth by the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the King of Glory, that we still battle the flesh daily. That we must fight it, but God hath enabled us to stand against it and bring forth fruit unto God, to bring forth fruit unto repentance, to bring forth fruit and manifest Christ in our body and magnify Christ in our body and serve God and love God while we live in this world and have joy and have rest. What did Christ say? Come unto me. We're totally dependent on Christ. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your soul.